the colleague from the department as well as visitors. I'll suggest that we start. No matter we have already started a little bit later, after 30 minutes, we're still sorting out because members are committed in some activities within the parliament. As you know very well, that we're sharing members. And without wasting any time, I'll request that we start with the members to introduce themselves so that we can give you or anybody in this building to introduce himself or herself as well. Those who are arriving now, you are welcome. Tea is available. Just welcome, Minyas. And the pocket revenge, you don't know. You can start by introducing yourself.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Herman Groenewald, a member of this committee and representing the Northwest Province.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I am Zola Mlenzana, member of the Select Committee representing the Eastern Cape.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm Mabidia Lebohane, representing Limpopo Province and a member of this committee. Thank you.
Kimbuisala Jacobs. The local committee and a group representative, Free State.
I'll request from the department to introduce himself. I'll come to myself. I'll be the last person to introduce himself.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Neville Cheney, Acting Director General, National Department of Human Settlement.
Good morning, Chair and members. My name is Anton Arinsa.
Good morning, Chair and members. My name is Maurice Sichi from the National Department.
Good morning. My name is Fulani Matrasi. I'm the CFO of the Department, National Human Settlement. Thank you.
Mili Lekaba, Office of the Director General, Human Settlement.
Chairman Obatan, Office of the DG, Human Settlement.
Good morning. The name is Sean Solomon. I'm from the Office of the DG, Department of Human Settlement. Thank you.
My name is Ben Kiley from the Committee Section of Parliament.
Mike Terry from the Parliamentary Monitoring Group.
My name is Christopher and I'm from 7-8.
I'm Nomawe Tukhali from Salga. Thank you.
I'm Sibongiseni Twalo. I'm representing Parliamentary Legal Services.
I'm Nomzamo Ndlovu, representing Legal Services, Parliament.
Morning, my name is Pat Sibande. I'm the chairperson of this committee. Officially, the meeting is open. And, okay.
Okay. Out of interest, I heard Mr. Chen saying he's an acting director general. What happened to the director general?
Yes, you are right. I'm coming to that one. Everybody is welcome to this meeting, and I'll request that maybe we give the department to give whatever they wanted to give us, the background, and also to answer the question which is asked. Because another challenge which I've faced with, somebody who phoned me a few days ago, I think it was yesterday, about the frustrations in the department that they received the correspondence only on Friday, while we do have, and we sent, in fact, first of all, we do have a program, and we instructed our office to deal with all correspondence in time. Maybe let's give, before we, whatever, let's give an opportunity to the department to explain that,
Thank you, Chair. Chair, just in respect of it, there's apologies from the Director General. He's away on departmental business and on a study visit with the Social Housing Registry Agency. Hence the fact that I've been appointed to act in his place. But he's away on departmental business and unfortunately unable to be present today.
You may continue with the, when did you receive the invitation?
Okay. Thank you, Chair. Chair, as I indicated and as you indicated, I did call you yesterday requesting that we consider the rescheduling of this meeting, given the fact that as the department, we received notification through our parliamentary office on Friday at 9:30 in the morning. The letter was dated 15 September 2011. I've got a copy with me. And it basically indicated and requested that we brief the department brief the Select Committee on Public Services on development grant allocations. As indicated, Chair, we have prepared presentations, but we've also got a substantial amount of additional information on a number of matters related to the grants. And as I've indicated, we'll make the presentation. Our CFO is present together with the Chief Director responsible for Human Settlements Planning, which deals with the matter related to grant allocations. What we can do, given the fact that there's of the short time, we most welcome to come back and or even schedule a further meeting should there be further information, because we don't want to sort of get to a situation where as I've indicated, there's a substantial amount of information, and when we go through the presentation, I'll indicate what that information is available, which we can give to yourself and the secretary.
The gentleman was, the honourable member was asking the question, is the whip of this committee, and it's correctly so to ask that question. That was the response. Let's get from the secretary, when was the invitation? I mean, when was this coordination of this meeting? So that we charted the way forward, that what do we do as from now onwards. Secretary, here's the response from the department. And Mama Bija, we wanted to correct the situation. Like, here's the response. There was a question from the whip, and there is a response from the department that they only underline that one, received the correspondent on Friday that they are being requested to come in Parliament. And definitely they phoned me yesterday to request that we reschedule the meeting. But it was very difficult for me to take any decision, because we are working as a team, and the preparations or the arrangements were in advance about this meeting. And then also, which is very sensitive, we are, as a select committee, we're dealing with three departments, which is human settlement and public works and transport. And we're behind time, because next year it is going to be very, very busy. So, honorable members, let's get maybe from the secretary. Can you respond to this? When was the correspondent maybe issued or communicated to the department?
It was sent on Friday.
Okay. Honorable members, help me. Mr. Mlenzana, Mama Bicha, followed by Babu Mlenzana.
Now that the department is here and we are also here, I'm proposing that we continue. We will sort it out after the meeting if necessary, as management.
Babu Mlenzana?
Thanks, Chairperson. One slight addition, because I was also to say
the department, regardless of the frustration, but has managed to be here and at a cost to the department. So we cannot just then say, because of the short notice, then we cancel the meeting. But, Chairperson, the addition which I want to make is, we as the select committee are then hamstrung and would then not be able to dig deep into issues, particularly if you listen to the acting DG that there are other critical issues which the department would, if it has been allowed enough time to prepare, they would be able to brief us about. So let's take the presentation, Chairperson. Perhaps if we raise questions from the presentation, we raise questions and the department may respond to those issues which are at least on the palm of their hands, but for those which then they would need further consideration and work, we rearrange for another session wherein they would be able to come to us well prepared.
Before Honourable Member Chair Court.
Yeah, Chair.
Before you, Honourable Mr. Mark Philander,
yeah,
is one of the officials around here in Parliament. He was invited by me to come and to share with us. Mr. Philander, we are facing a problem here. I'll give you an opportunity, sir. I just welcome him now.
Okay.
Yes.
Let me, as the whip of the committee, let me thank the department for responding promptly, although they were given a short space of time. But it is quite clear we have to clean our house. Our house is dirty. That we'll deal after this meeting. Because even on our side, we are not prepared. Because I think we only have one document. And that document, it does not say anything. And at the same time, we don't even have a research unit document. So on our side also, we are hamstrung because we won't be respond or dig deeper into the presentation that will be made by the Department of Human. But I think we'll deal with that after this meeting.
Department, without wasting any time, over to you. What is going to happen, we'll give you an opportunity to give us whatever you have. Where you left, maybe we'll reconsider later on that how to take this process forward because of what happened. Mama?
A point of interruption, Chairperson. You said who our visitor?
Mark Philander.
On his capacity?
No, he's in the management. He's responsible for the staff. Yeah. Is responsible for the officials which we're working with, for the secretaries and whatever, from the content advisor, etc. Well, in fact, I wanted him to be present for to address the matter which you raised, which we'll consider after this meeting.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Mom. Department.
Thank you, Chair. As I've indicated, I'll ask the CFO, Ms. Matlasi, to take us through the presentation, and she'll be assisted by Mr. Hichi as well as Mr. Arunsa, and then I'll cover the last portion in relation to additional information. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Acting DG, Chairperson, and the members. Within the same grasp of the fact that we are committing ourselves, we have prepared a presentation based on the request of the committee, and the presentation is based on the two development grants as indicated, and we know that we also have another development grant in the form of a rural housing infrastructure, but we did not actually provide the committee with more detail on it based on the fact that the request of the invite further indicates to us that we will look at the grant differently at the other space of the date given by the committee. Now, our presentation is structured in the form of the two grants, which are the main grants in any way in the department, which is the Human Settlement Development Grant, as well as the Urban Settlement Development Grant. And our presentation towards the end will focus on the Urban Settlement Development Grant. Now, the aim of the Human Settlement Development Grant, formerly known as the Integrated Housing and Human Settlement Development Grant, it has a goal of providing or creating a sustainable human settlement with the provision of an enabling environment to an improved quality of household life. And its purpose is to make a provision for the funding to enable the very same creation of sustainable human settlement life. And in supplement to that, and for the purpose of acceleration of service delivery, we as a department have also to meet the targets and outputs of Outcome 8, which also contributes to the sustainable human settlement development as well as the quality of household life. However, Chairperson, as we move through, it would not have been fair to the committee to only issue the allocations of the grant. So we actually felt that we give the detailed budget of the department, which is encompassed over the medium-term expenditure framework of a three-year nature to 2014. Although our focus for this financial year, however, we will mention the outer years, is on the note of the 22.5 billion. Now, when we look at the 22.5 billion, it is split in terms of different programs run by the department, of which there are five. The first one being the administration, the second one being the household policy, research and monitoring, the third program being the housing planning and delivery support, the fourth one where most of the grants are enclosed in is the housing development finance as a program four, and then the last program being the strategic relations and governance. Now, when we look at the structure of the departmental budget, we, in terms of the year one, which is 2011-2012, broken it down in terms of operational budget as well as the conditional grants, which we call them development grants. And we also have, within the very same MIST, the departmental agencies, which are in the form of the transfers to our institutions. Now, the focus, obviously, will be on the form of the Human Settlement Development Grant as well as the Urban Settlement Development Grant, whereby we see the billion, the 14.9 billion, going to our Human Settlement Development Grant as well as the Urban Settlement Development Grant for MIG cities, which is the 6.2 billion. And that's going to be the focus of the whole presentation. However, we, as indicated, the total budget of the department for the financial year 2011-2012 is 22,578,495,000. And then we have in 2012-13 a 24,875,057,000, and the outer year goes to 26.6 billion. Now, this, with the hope that everybody will understand this, but I will try to make it simple for the committee, that our Human Settlement Development Grant takes 66.1% or 0.2% of the entire 22.5 billion. And then we have our Urban Settlement Development Grant taking a 27%, and then the small percentage of our rural household infrastructure grant taking a percentage of one. Then the rest is given to the operational budget of the department. Now, in total, we say all the grants, they take the form of a 95% of the entire 22 billion of the department. Then the rest of the pie chart, that side, it divides, as indicated earlier, in terms of our programs, that is program 1 to program 5, inclusive of the departmental agencies, which do not form part of this presentation, however. As we move through, which is one of the requests as well, or the major requests for us being here, it's how Human Settlement Development Grant is allocated to the provincial departments. Using the approved allocation formula for the departments, our main grant is actually divided into 9 provinces, with a major budget going to Gauteng at the 3.8 billion, followed by KwaZulu-Natal, 2.7. And then we have our major, also Eastern Cape, with a 2.1 billion. And then the lowest in terms of our allocation formula and in terms of the districts as well, it's our Northern Cape. However, if one looks at the very same Northern Cape, it's escalating over the outer years, similarly to other provinces as well. And these amounts are distributed to provinces in terms of the approved payment schedule, which provinces have to actually comply with for us to be able to transfer them at the end of each month in terms of our cash flow. Now, for us to be able to even transfer these monies to the provinces, as tabled and clear as they are, provinces are expected to submit to national departments the provincial business plans. And in those provincial business plans, there's an indication of how, where, and when the projects will be finalized, and in essence, in what nature. Now, as the acting DG has indicated, and along the lines, we are pleased, and we will be pleased to distribute or supply the committee of the nature of the business plan, which we do not have in this presentation, but we will gladly provide so the committee desire. Now, as we move through, we will indicate how these monies are going to be spent in a very summarical way by provinces, as indicated in their business plan. Now, we see the whole budget of 14.9 billion in 1 year being distributed to province Eastern Cape up until our 9th province, which is Western Cape, to the tune of 1.6 billion. And then it grows further to 15.5 billion in year 2, and then going again 14 billion to 16.4 billion with the expectation that by that time some of the projects that have been indicated to be finalized in 2014 will be finished. And I must also emphasize to the committee before I go to the other slide that this portion of the grant allocation also covers some of the outputs of the outcome 8. However, as we move forward, as a commitment and as our focus, and having indicated earlier that we have a commitment to make sure that our outcome 8 delivers its most outputs, we have as a department contributed, or we are contributing in a form of a split of a 20% from our normal 14 billion, an amount that has been distributed to all the outputs of the outcome 8. Now, the slides to follow, Chairperson and committee members, is a distribution of the top slice of the departmental budget for us to, or as a contribution, for us to realize the outputs of outcome 8. And the first one being an apportionment of the 20% to the tune of plus minus 20% to the upgrading of informal settlement. As we all know that one of the main outputs of outcome 8 is to ensure that we upgrade the informal settlement. Now, portion of that money goes to the very same output. But now the emphasis that I want to indicate to members is that while we have top sliced the 20% from the main 14.9 billion, then indication to provinces is that they are to also commit funding to the upgrading of informal settlement as a program that actually is run within the business plan. So we have not limited provinces to these amounts for them to focus on the upgrading, because the upgrading of informal settlement is anyway a program within the business plan that needs to be attended to by the provinces, despite the fact that we also have a focus on outcome aid. So those monies, there are expectations that we need to see these monies focusing directly on the upgrading of informal settlements, and we need to realize the outcome or the outputs of outcome aid. So it went further to the rental and social housing. An amount of 1 billion has been apportioned in the form of Eastern Cape receiving 153 million of the billion, as well as Western Cape receiving 117 of the split, focusing or committing ourselves to achieving the outputs or the outcomes of rental and social housing. Then one of the also outputs that are expected from outcome aid is the land allocation, whereby there is an expectation of us to achieve 6,250 hectares of land by the financial year 2014. So as we started within the financial year of last year, moving forward to 2014, for this financial year, we have committed 147,682. But as I indicated, this does not actually exempt provinces to contribute to this amount from the other allocation of the budget to achieve the hectares of land that are needed by 2014 and for any other human settlement developments other than the one that are focusing on outcome aid. That amount goes further, the commitment, 262 million in the year 2013-14. Now, over and above the three that we have indicated as outputs and outcomes to outcome aid, we also focus on the priority projects as determined by the national department and as approved by MINMET and as endorsed by our provincial departments as well. We outlined or actually sourced them out of all the provincial departments and those that having engaged to say these are the projects that they need to reflect out as priority projects for the financial years moving forward. But at the same time, we will be having some of the other priority projects added to these in terms of the funding that we shall receive from National Treasury moving forward. So in the form of Eastern Cape, our focus for this financial year moving forward, with the commitment of a budget of 120 million to 136 to the outer year of 2013-14, it's the Duncan Village. Now, Gauteng has indicated a need for this, and there is definitely a need given the situations at those four areas in Gauteng. We have Doornkop, Diepsloot, Sidotas, as well as Kuzo. And the whole amount of 455 has been given to those projects in the Gauteng province. Now, when one looks at the KZN, we have Konabia at the amount of 132. We also have Lephalale in Limpopo and our dromedaries in our Western Cape. Similarly to the other years in the two, which is 2012-13 and 2013-14. So the four slides that I've just spoken to thoroughly, they form the basis of the 20% that had been top slide from the original grant of 14.9 billion. I indicated earlier on that I will provide you with the 14.9 billion in the form of the business plan, in the form of what provinces had indicated to shall have achieved by the years to come, and particularly this financial year. These are the outcomes and the outputs that we expect by the end of the financial year to shall have achieved by provinces. As you look at them, they are just a glimpse of the provincial business plan. We did not actually provide the whole business plan. If we were to provide the whole business plan, that will talk to the whole 14.9 billion. It will also include some of the other factors that contribute to the development of human settlements. But for the purpose of the output and outcome, or in the form of a house, or in a household sitting in a house, we've actually extracted the slum upgrading, which is an upgrading of informal settlement, and there's an expectation of 104,962 targets for the financial year ending 31st March 2012. And then our rental goes to 8,743. And then the gap market. The gap market is it's one thing that provinces had indicated, but it also contributes to the output of outcome 8. However, where there are gaps, we are still finalized, and we are, I think that the acting DG will also touch based on that one. We have finalized a framework as far as us moving forward in the utilization of the mortgage insurance, the default. However, some provinces had indicated their interest within the very same grant allocation to Shalef achieved within that framework of the gap market. And the outcome is expected to give us a target of 2,142 in the form of a gap market. Now, when we come to rural housing, and we're quite aware that there's also an interest in our focus on developing and improving the quality of life in the rural areas, there's an indication that we expect 39,000 outputs. And that, although it does not form part of the outcome 8, it forms part of our commitment. And as our nature of our mandate engages us to say provision of household life to all, regardless of the state of stay where they are. So rural housing has actually turned to be our main focus as well in all the financial year to come. So we are expecting a target of 39,000 by the end of the financial year. Then the rectification program, we're quite aware that there are some areas of rectification that needs to happen in different areas, given the state of houses that we found our houses in. And at the point in time, we have different provinces having indicated that through the rectification program, they will run this financial year to achieve or to shall have rectified 17,421 houses and targets. That would also include the sites as well that could not actually be finalized to form a final structure. So this basically becomes the national priorities and in a summarized way. However, if one takes all these targets and we take the business plan, we will see some other gaps in terms of the targets, which we could not actually flag them for the committee. However, as indicated, we are more than pleased to provide the committee with the detail, which in essence, it was somewhere given to the same committee, I think it was in May. But we will definitely provide more detailed information as far as the business plan, should the committee so desire. Now, we also felt that within the same breath of giving the committee the allocations as well as the plans, it is necessary for us to indicate to the committee of where we are in terms of our spending for this financial year. As I indicated earlier, that for the purpose of us monitoring and evaluating the grant in a very proper manner and to ensure that there is service delivery on the grant, we, in the form of the cash flow as well as the approved payment schedule to our provincial departments, we transfer the money, and that's an indication, and I just hope the committee will also see that. I will actually say from my left, and it will be obviously the right from the wing that I'm the wing that is right, we have a budget of 14.9 billion as indicated from my first slide, split into provinces that are 9, 2.1 to 1.6. Now the second column from my left is transferred funds as per the cash flow request of the provinces and as per the approval of the payment schedule drawn by both the national department and the provincial department, approved by National Treasury. We have transferred as at 31st August 2011 an amount of 6.3 billion to provinces. Now, of that amount, provinces managed to spend 4.7, which constitute 74% of what we had given. Now, if one looks at the two figures, we simply say, in terms of the approved payment schedule and in terms of the principles of us dividing the money equally, we are indicating that the correct percentage of 43 that has been transferred to provinces is in the form of us not giving the money all to provinces without knowing when they will spend it. So we divide it in such a way that for that particular month it will be spent. So the 43% has been transferred according to our approved payment schedule. And then of that amount, we go further to say, against the 6.3 billion that we had transferred to the provinces for the 5 months ending 31st August, they only spent 32% of the total, which is the fourth column in blue from my right hand, just after the green column of the 74%. Now, we agree and acknowledge the fact that the 32% versus the 43% is below by 11%, which is the benchmark of the 43%. Now, we do have indications from provinces in terms of why we could not actually reach the target in some way or other. And then, obviously, in terms of us monitoring the progress, we are engaging and we have already engaged with our provincial departments in the form of our first provincial review, whereby most and some of the challenges had been indicated. And I must emphasize that most of the challenge that the provinces had indicated is in the form of the invoices that they had not received from some of the service providers who had already rendered the service. Now, an indication at the same time is that something needs to be done from the provincial level. Some had also indicated system challenges. And when we were at our last MINMEP, most of the provinces had indicated that they managed to sort their challenges. So in a form of us making sure that the figures are correct, I could safely say at the moment, Chair, through my acting DG, that the figures still need to be confirmed, because we only rely on figures that have been signed by the HODs. So the office is busy collating the confirmed figures by the HODs. However, these are still the figures that need to be confirmed, and they will be confirmed up until today, which is the 20th, for us to be even given National Treasury confirmed figures in terms of our principal agreement with provinces and in terms of our framework. So now we are simply saying, out of what we had given to provinces, so far for the 5 months ending 31st August, we have spent 32%, with the expectation that the 11% as a spending pressure moving forward by provinces will be set off or achieved in some months to come, given the challenges that I had indicated earlier on. So it goes against all the provinces. And if one looks at most of the provinces, the indication is mostly at those that are at 29%, which is our Western Cape, and then our biggest Gauteng, which is sitting at 27%, as well as Eastern Cape. We have arranged our provincial visits directly, other than the provincial reviews. So we will actually give our direct attention, or an undivided attention, to the specific provinces who are actually sitting at most 30%, 27%, as well as even the 34%, we will not neglect Northwest. We will definitely be visiting those. We are quite aware that our Free State at this point in time is the most province that has spent most of the funds that we had transferred to them. And they are actually on par as far as the money that has been transferred to them. And the indication at the same time with this one is that there is no danger for Free State to not to spend its entire allocation by the 31st. However, when we look at the fourth slide again, which is the fourth column, which is the blue one, our focus will be mainly on all the provinces. And then we will also watch the Northern Cape at the same time. Now, having indicated the spending, these are the targets that I actually spoke to earlier on, although the major ones or those ones were targeted to the outcome aid. Now, having indicated that the business plan of the department, which is the national from the 9 provinces, entails sites that are to be achieved by the 31st of March 2012 to the tune of 78,000, and then the top structure, which are all units, is supposed to be at an amount of 136,611, the total of the delivered targets for the financial year 2011-2012, my apologies, should be at around about 214. Now, if we compare the two slides to the delivery for the period ending 31st August 2011, is that for the 5 months so far from the site, we have achieved 19,329, with the highest having done by Northwest at an amount of 8,295 sites, and then the top structure, the highest being Gauteng at 10,271. Now, if one looks at the two columns, when we add them at the end, we are at 65,000 and 49,000 delivery targets for the 5 months ending 31st August. Now, the last three slides are differences of the expectations from us, the 58 versus the 78, the 90 against the 136, and obviously the last one, which is the total, it's compared to 214. So we still have 149 targets to achieve by the 31st of March 2012. Chair, I'll hand over to my colleague to talk to the USDG. Although I will drive the slide.
Thanks, Chair. Just in relation to, before Mr. Aronson continues, what we have done is that we've got the relevant CDs which we can give to yourselves, particularly, and it contains the detailed business plans for each of the province. It also contains we've also got copies of the annual performance plan, so for the 2011-2012 financial year, you'll have that. And then we've also got detailed project lists as provided for each of the provinces in relation to the Human Settlements Development Grant. Thanks, Chair.
Chair and members, a few concluding slides about the Urban Settlements Development Grant. But just by way of introduction, the Urban Settlements Development Grant, while new to the department, is not entirely new to government. It has its genesis in the Municipal Infrastructure Grant, originally and still managed by the Department of Cooperative Governance, but an iteration of the MIG was an acknowledgement that the pressures that the larger centres in South Africa face are peculiar and are in fact bigger than most of the settlements across the country, and hence the specialization of the MIG Cities Grant. You may well be aware that the MIG Cities Grant came to an end in March of this year, and that coincided with the commencement of the Urban Settlements Development Grant. Now, I'm not going to get into the whole history around how it was put together, but just some interesting numbers and figures just to confirm the rationale for the USDG. A recent study by the National Department shows that 70%, and the CFO talked about the priorities and the, one of the key priorities being the slum upgrading program. Well, 70% of slums are located in the 8 metros across the country. Another interesting statistic and a fact that the Human Settlements Development Grant that the CFO has just briefed you on, between 65% and 72% of that grant gets spent in those same 8 metros. So it's almost a confirmation that as government and as a department, we as provinces collectively putting our money where our mouth is, where the pressure and where the need really is expressed, and in a way attempting to respond to that need. So further to that, and see if on next slide. It is also commonly known that the a key inhibitor in housing delivery and the HSDG is the fact that very often bulk services and connector services were not forthcoming. I.e. the MIG and the MIG cities grant, if not insufficient, then was not aligned to the manner in which the HSDG was used. And I'm not wanting to get into any specifics, but very often you find that while the housing grant is ready to be used, there isn't any bulk or connector services, there isn't any water in the ground, and then it comes as no coincidence then that you have houses without water. USDG, and without getting into all of those bullet points in any specific detail, USDG attempts to address those problems, to seek better alignment between bulk services and public goods and the grants that is used for shelter provision. A fundamental difference between the USDG and the MIG Cities grant, where MIG Cities was really just seen as a general fund which dealt with public public services and public goods, the USDG is a lot more focused in terms of what its outcomes and its outputs are. I'm not going to get into detail about the outcomes-based approach. The committee is probably more familiar with it than we are. Safe to say that the USDG, in terms of its outputs and outcomes, are completely aligned with the housing grant. So if you looked at the DORA framework for the USDG, you'll see that it talks specifically to the aspect of informal settlement upgrading, it talks specifically to rental, affordable finance, etc., etc. All of the aspects that the CFO has talked to for the past in her briefing, the USDG talks to exactly the same thing. Next slide, thank you. So really, what the USDG attempts to do is unlock projects for the housing or the human settlements development grant, typically what we refer to as the housing grant, and it does so by one, land acquisition and land assembly, two, bulk infrastructure provision, and the provision of bulk services, and three, it seeks by doing so to better align the priorities, programs, and funding sources given to national, provincial, and local government. Next slide. I think another important and a key difference that just needs to be raised at this point is that while the Human Settlements Development Grant, or the HSDG, the 14 or just under 15 billion allocation, that is given to provinces, whereas the USDG, the Urban Settlements Development Grant, is an allocation which is given directly from the National Department to 8 metropolitan municipalities. Another fundamental difference between the two grants is that while the housing grant, the Human Settlements Development Grant, is a Schedule 5 grant, so it is a conditional grant given to provinces, the USDG is a Schedule 4 grant, which in very simple terms is a grant which is given directly to municipalities to augment their own capital budgets. So the conditionalities attached to the USDG are not as rigid and as stringent as it would be for the Schedule 5 housing grant. I think that it's useful just to bear that in mind. The bottom line, and we're really hoping that through this presentation, what we are attempting to illustrate here is that as a department and as the three spheres of government, we have a series of grants which now attempt to answer or give traction to the idea or the notion of human settlements, as opposed to previously just having provided shelter or housing. Specifically with regard to the USDG, over this three financial years, we're looking at an additional $21 billion that will go into the grant. And we can go to the next slide. The final slide, members, just an indication for your benefit, how the pie has been cut between the eight major centres across the country. I'm sure that in the closing remarks the acting DG will talk about the future plans for USDG. May talk about the accreditation, because I'm sure that there are some cities and towns that you would have liked to have seen on the list that do not appear. Where we're at now, what we have is very similar to the requirement for the provinces to provide business plans around how they plan to use their HSDG. Very similarly, these eight metros have also provided us with the equivalent of those plans. They refer to as the Built Environment Performance Plan, and we've made those available on CD as well, Chairperson. So you're able to get an indication of how the cities plan to use those allocations. It may, and in anticipation of a likely question, this is the first year that USDG is sitting within under our auspices. And one of the things that we had needed to recognize and acknowledge that these cities listed over here are running multi-year projects under, which originally started under mixed cities. And so for this financial year, we needed to almost run that pipeline to its conclusion. So in the forthcoming years, we would be a lot more, for lack of a better term, stringent and rigid around the anticipated outputs of the USDG. I'm going to hand over to my acting DG for his final comments. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. Just in relation to the, I think that just on the Urban Settlement Development Grant, I mean, what we're speaking about is it's not a grant that we envisage to be exclusively allocated to the metros. And you'll see in the document we speak about towns and cities. So as the accreditation, as the capacity building, as the technical ability of towns and cities. So in the next financial year, we are in discussion with the National Treasury, together with the other relevant departments, to expand the Urban Settlements Development Grant. So for example, one of the towns stroke emergent city that will come into play based on its strategic importance is Lepalale and Limpopo. So that has been considered, and there's a number of others that are Rustenburg, Emalashleni. So there's a whole range of towns and cities which are perhaps sort of centres of economic growth within the respective provinces that we are considering. As indicated, Chair, the full documentation, particularly in relation to that on the Urban Settlements Development Grant, we've got the Built Environment Performance Plans, which give you an indication, a clear indication, and all four of these adds further substance to what we have. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you for the input from the department. Honorable members, that is a briefing by the Department of Human Settlement on its development grant allocation to ensure allocated amounts per province are used for service improvement over the MTEF period. I'd like to give this opportunity to the members maybe to start to ask questions. I'll be the last person to ask questions.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. Yeah, I think that is a mouthful. Thank you for the presentation. I've got a couple of questions. For me, it is about quality, control, and then the last thing is fraud in your department. I want to know what control measures is in place, because the money is there. If you listen to you, there's more than enough money to build houses, but to control that money, when the money is out of the department into the different provinces, I think that is where the problem really started. There's no control at all, and I'll give you examples if I'm going on. What happened in my province, in the Northwest province, there's a lot of problems. I move around in the province and I see what happened there, where they build houses, and what is the quality of the houses. It is in a bad condition, houses falling apart, it's full of cracks, and then at the end of the day, millions of rents must be spent again on the very same houses. So we are going backwards and not forward if we must the whole time do repairing on houses that have been built by different contractors. And I think when we look into the contractors in the Northwest province, there was a contractor, Tora Africa, give us a hard time, and the quality of houses they built and how they get the contracts. I've got a feeling in many cases these contractors is just dished out because it's friends or family, and I know for sure that there was also from the Northwest Legislature MECs involved in this Tora Africa, and there was a lot of corruption, and I want to know, and I'm quite sure you're also aware of it, and if you can give me feedback about what was you doing about it. There was a lot of questions in the past asking about all these things and what happened in the Northwest province, specifically around about fraud. The upgrading of the RDP houses is another thing you talk about. I want to know exactly what do you mean by upgrading RDP houses, because there's a certain amount available for a house, and do you give another amount of money to people to upgrade RDP houses? What is the meaning of that? And then a couple of examples, projects in the Northwest province. In Clarksdorp, we've had an oversight visit last week, and last week on Thursday, the premier, not the premier, the mayor of Clarksdorp, the new mayor, told us that 26 million rand was making available for repairing of houses in Alabama. And that was last year. And since then, nothing happened. And that 26 million is gone. They can't show anyone where it is going to. So he was very worried about that. Moses Kotane, Extension 8, the poor conditions of the infrastructure there. After they build the houses, there's no roads, there's nothing. And that is RDP houses. Freiburg, millions of rands were just disappearing there from the contractor site, and very few houses was built at the end of the day. Rustenburg, 500 houses was being built, and there's nothing. I can take you there and I can show you some was half built, some foundations is gone, the people was carrying away all the bricks and things, and a whole contract was collapsing, and it's 500 million in that, around about that. Kutsong, and that is now in Gauteng, but it was at a stage in the Northwest Province. I'm very worried about that contract as well. It is going very, very, very slow. And something is wrong there as well. And I think we must invest that whole situation, what is going on in Kutsong. And then, what you said, there's enough money, and then it's easy to show us here, that is the money available, and that was dishing out to the provinces. But what about job creation? Is there any job creation? I think that is the main thing at this stage. How are you controlling job creation where these projects is going on? I think a lot of these things is collapsing, and the department is also failing about control on these projects. You must give us answers that we know. What are you doing to see that there are job creation in our rural areas? You're talking about urban areas. That is where the people is going to, and we are looking into the urban areas. But what about our rural areas? There's many places. Moses Kotane is a very rural, rural area. What are you doing in these rural areas? And especially, there are 112 villages in Moses Kotane, and that is one part of the Northwest Province. What are you doing in these rural areas? Many of these rural areas even is not touched with any RDP houses, and that worries me. You must give us answers regarding that. If we are looking into the MIC money, what is available, the MIC grants, what is available for development in our areas. Many of these money are used by the municipalities, by council, for overseas trips, for parties, and they spend the money for salaries. Totally wrong. And what are your control measures regarding that? And I think that is where corruption is taking place as well. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable Member Mlenzana.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, let me, before I start dealing with the report, I appreciate this the very last clarity given by the Acting DG on your USDG allocation to Metro. At least it's some signal that you are looking at addressing even those towns which are aspiring to be at some stage either big towns, cities, or even metros. So I think let's appreciate that. The second one, Chairperson, I think it goes partly to you and your team, that maybe perhaps the department chairperson would have to be favored by our findings from the provincial visits that we usually make, particularly this last one, lest we bombard them with issues which some may be pertinent to various provinces. But Chair, I in this very same thing, I understand the challenge that is posed by the powers and functions as per the constitutional imperative, which we have to bear with up until we look at whatever amendments which would suit service delivery implementation on the ground, because as it stands now, this question of one suspecting each other, one wanting to hold to his or her turf, is a reality. So I don't want to come here and be seen to be protecting the National Department of Human Settlement in this regard. But Chair, there are those allocations which I personally believe
are somehow in control or under your control. Like if we go to your slide 11, Chair, where provinces have to submit business plans, I believe, for approval before a particular tranche is released, and that would also go with making a particular province account in terms of cash flows, the expenditure and all. But now, my interest mainly is, in that process, are you able as the department to say to a particular province, but look, no, we know government priorities, like rural development, for instance. Now, are you able to say to a particular province, but from your business plan, it doesn't look like your focus is on rural development, looking at what they have prioritized? Are you able to say, no, we're not approving this one, change it to suit government priorities? Also on, this is more of a clarification question, on rectifications. Do you allow provinces to make addition to a particular unit? Say, there's this unit without ceilings, without gutters and all. If now they say it's rectification, it's not about removing and fixing doors, removing and fixing windows, redoing the work which was badly done, but it's work which was not done. Do you allow provinces to start that? On slide 12, Chairperson, it's also interesting. But one may check with the department. If can the department provide us with the dates for your proposed visit to the provinces? I'm interested, Chairperson, because in my province, for instance, it was only last year where I received a very good report on how the then MEC, you know, was explaining to me, you know, expenditure trends, up to scratch, all money committed, everything done, spot on. But now, when you look at this report, it's the total opposite. You can't have a situation where there has been so sudden a change of the capacity within 5-10 months or so. So one would be interested, and also I want to check if the department is able to check the financial dumping, which is a possibility that these provinces might be. You understand. The end of the financial year for the municipalities is June, and yours is March. So the possibility of a financial dumping, where as it stands now, that Eastern Cape would be standing at 29, 27, somewhere there. But come February, they would be saying to us, it's done. Only to find that they have just transferred these big chunks of money to the various municipalities. Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Lenz and Honorable Jacobs.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Just to make a follow-up on what Honorable Groenewald has said. Last time the DG promised that, no, he said the Department of Human Settlement is going to establish a monitoring team. So I don't know whether that has been done, because it will address the concerns that were raised by Honorable Groenewald. The second one is the issue of business plan. I think it's important that members from each province must get that business plan for their provinces, so that we should know exactly. For instance, if you say for land allocation, which are the places where the province is going to buy land? If you say the slum upgrading, which areas are for slum upgrading, rental, rural housing, and so on. So I think that's very important that we get that information, because normally when we go for provincial week, these are some of the issues that we need to monitor, as well as when we go on our constituency period, we can be able to monitor whether the province is doing according to its business plan. The other one out of interest, these allocations according to provinces. How do you allocate this allocation that you are giving? Because find that other provinces are getting more than other provinces. Is it maybe based according to a research to say we need more houses in this area, that's why you are allocating? So it is important that we can get that. I just also want to establish which money is allocated for infrastructure. Does it mean the money for land, if you say you buy land, does it also include to put on infrastructure? Or if you say land, it is only land, does not include the infrastructure that goes with the building of the house? So if we can get that. And the other one on this issue of rectification, what does it mean? Because if I look at my province, there are no funds that have been budgeted for. And now, if there is this project of reconstructing dilapidated houses, where does it fall to? Because in all locations, houses are being reconstructed because they say they are being dilapidated, old dilapidated houses. On this issue of challenges of provinces not spending their monies, can we maybe get the causes why these provinces are not spending their monies? Because what I believe in, year in, year out, provinces or departments, they know that there's going to be an allocation for houses. So there must be a pre-planning, so that when the money comes, they are able to utilize it. Now, where is the hitch? Because it seems every time we are having those problems. Just like in the Free State, the money was taken back to the national department, and even now we don't know the reasons why that money was taken back, whereas there's a lot of shortage of houses in the Free State. As we are building these houses, there is this issue of electricity, whereby you build RDP houses. It takes a year, even 2 years, for electricity to be installed. What mechanism are you doing so that there must be synergy between the human settlement as well as ESCO, so that houses should not be built, and it takes 2 years to install electricity. So I think we need to have that. That's about all.
Right. Thank you very much, members. But nevertheless, I'll just make a follow-up on what was raised by the members. You see, I'll start, I'm not responding. Get my point, Mr. Groenewald. I'm not responding on what you raised. There is something which is worrying me to us as members, that you spoke about the MIC grant, that many of this money is used for parties and overseas traveling. See, when we're doing oversight, I'm scared that we start to come with speculation, except that we do have proper information in our hands that this and this is happening. Because it help us. For an example, when we're doing oversight, we not go as opposition parties, as we are here. We're just members of parliament. No matter we know where our backgrounds, where we're coming from. Just it's a comment on that one. But nevertheless, also I'll echo my sentiments on what was raised by the members earlier on, that we do accept that apology which you raised, acting DG, deputy DG, deputy DG, about the issue of the information which came very late to you, which came on Friday, while in our understanding we do have a plan, which our honorable member Jacobs used to stick. He's very strict about the issue of a plan. We do have a plan, and of which it came out to among ourselves long ago. And we were expecting a full team. But it is accepted on your explanation, because you received this matter very late. I won't go into deeper details. We'll sort out. We ought to clean our house. But nevertheless, let me start by asking, there is also an issue which was raised by the members, that they spoke about the control system. I'll emphasize, but I'll put this way, that it deals back about the monitoring system. I'll emphasize that. What is your follow-up mechanism in place to check on the outcomes reached per province? Because we're dealing with huge monies. For an example, South Africa was burning all over, where people were demonstrating with service delivery, while we do have billions of money. And Ubaba, Honorable Member Jacobs was correct to raise that issue of Free State in particular, but myself, I won't deal about Free State only. If you may clarify us, I can't remember very well that how many provinces which were affected, who were unable to utilize their money as was anticipated. But that money which was taken back by the department, how much was that money? And what happened with that money? Because in your report, there are a lot of clean reports. Well, I can put it like this. It's clear that this percentage of money was utilized and this was not utilized. But there's no single way where you indicate that such money which was taken back, which was retrieved from the provinces, what happened with it. And also, which is worrying me, is about, you see, I think it's slide number, where's the slide? I think slide number 10 or slide number 11. Let's go back to slide number 10 or 11, where you gave us the statistics in terms of the service delivery. I wanted to make an example. Yes, let me go to... Okay, let me... Yes, slide 13. Okay. You see, to me, I'll put an example with Eastern Cape. With Eastern Cape, it's very disturbing if you go there practically. If this huge money is given. Maybe if you can provide us about the list of delivery projects, projects which have been delivered. Because to us, when you give this large, huge money, it doesn't speak. It's just quiet. Balloon money. But where is that delivery? So that it can assist us to assist the department in terms of our oversight. And then also, which is worrying me, it's about the, if maybe you can indicate to us the estimates of delivery dates for prioritized projects. Underline that one. Prioritized projects. And again, once more, to take you back about the issue which was raised by Honorable Runebald about the issue of Khutsong. If you recall very well, around Khutsong, there were areas which we identified that they've built their houses on the rock of the dynamite, something like that. Dolomite, yes. And there was a huge row. Okay, the explanation from the Department of Fish was very healthy to say we wanted to discourage people not to build there, we wanted to have an alternative money. But I'm a little bit concerned. One of the slides you indicated that for Khutsong, the previous, this budget year, you spend about 105 million rands. Is it possible for us to indicate for us where in particular in Khutsong? Because if you recall very well, 2 days ago, Khutsong was on flames. The people were demonstrating. But surprisingly, in your reports, it's indicating that there's huge money which is being spent in Khutsong. And then also, if maybe you can assist us. You know, there is a thing which is worrying me. I'll give you a paper when we finish so that it can be on par way to take it home so that next time you assist us with that information. In terms of line functioning, you are fully aware that there are responsibilities which doesn't cover us well, which are of maybe provincial level, some are in national level, which covers us. But to assist ourselves because of the huge money which you as national you are giving, I think somewhere if you can assist us to get in a report that, because there is a technical committee for MINMEC, that technically committee on MINMEC, the DGs, I think they're also involved, sitting together, together with HODs. So that we can get exactly that, what are the developments there, what is happening. I don't know whether you are clear on what I'm saying. I'll give you this copy and open on page 5 so that I can show you what I mean exactly. I don't know whether this is the first time to see this information. You don't have it, I know. Maybe you, no, you have it, you have it, you have it. Members, you have it on page 5. You see, in terms of the oversight, there are forums, what I'm trying to say, where you sit together, if you can assist us, maybe to get exactly, so that we can know exactly what are the challenges. Our interests are the challenges, so that we can empower us in order to make a follow-up in terms of what is happening on the ground. And then also you do have a MINMEC. Officials, that's not a secret MINMEC. Sometimes, Jefferson, if there is time, they are being invited as well. If you can assist us with some of these things. And then also, the last one is about the issue of the quarterly reports as per PFMA on human segment. And then, a bit, if possible, we know that on of no provincial levels, officials, that is not directly our sphere, but if you can assist us in terms of accounting, because the PFMA does allow us as accounting, you and your parties, accounting officers, to assist us to empower you. that there is a PRIMAS coordinating council. From the PRIMAS, there are a lot of sectors which are sitting there, and the provincial steering committees. But in particular, we wanted to know exactly, so that we can be focused on what was raised by all members about the consent in their provinces. For an example, the issue which was raised, I can't remember whether it was Mr. Honorable Lenzana or Mr. Jacobs, about the visits, the dates visits to the provinces. So that when we visit provinces, we are able to say, hey, there are outstanding things which were never been met, if possible. But I will come later on. Let us give you an opportunity to respond in some of these questions. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair, members. I just want to thank the members and yourself, Chair, for the constructive questions, and where we're not in a position to fully address that, and if we don't have the information, we'll bring back. And after I've concluded, my colleagues will add. In relation to the control measures, I think, as Member Jacobs indicated, the department is in the process of implementing a turnaround strategy, and that has been signed off by the Minister, and is now with the DPSA for concurrent approval. And as part of that process, we're establishing the program management unit. And that program management unit is basically to strengthen the issue of monitoring, evaluation, and reporting, the follow the money issue. So as the national sphere, we are in a position to adequately address the issue of some of the seepages and non-attendance in relation to that. But I think what we need to also indicate that currently within the department, we have a monitoring and evaluation unit, and they do follow up on allocations. They do oversight, particularly in relation to that, and they are and they do that in a structured way. What might not be happening is that we might not be visiting and we might not be targeting the 8,000 projects that we have. But what we do is there's samples and through those samples and through those identified monitoring. We do a dipstick analysis and we get reports on that. I think the issue is that we want to be able to strengthen that so that we're able to improve that. So in the structure that the Minister and the DG have approved, there's a strengthened program management unit which allows us to basically track from the time that the business plan is approved right until the outcome. That's the first thing. Secondly, I think through the delivery agreement that the President's introduced through the ministers, and it's now so there's a delivery agreement that's been signed between the President and the minister and the MECs. The MECs, together with their respective municipal MMCs and mayors, that's occurred. We know that expenditure doesn't reflect what the true outcome is. Sometimes what we do is that we say if you spent well, then it's okay. But that's not exactly. I mean, that doesn't. So some of the things that we picked up is money has been spent, but has it been spent correctly? Has it delivered what we want to communities and households? So that's why that's the issue. So what we are now focusing on, particularly through the program management unit, the monitoring and evaluation, is what is it that we are buying? How is it improving the household quality of life? And you'll see that in terms of our delivery agreement that the Minister has signed with the President, it's sustainable human settlements and improved quality of household life. So it's measuring the outcomes. So we are taking that. In addition to the program management unit and as well as the monitoring and evaluation, our CFO has got a financial oversight, so she'll probably explain to you what the detail is, particularly in going into that. In addition to that, the Minister, through the President, we've got the SIU. So there's a proclamation that's been signed that the SIU are undertaking certain investigations and inquiries, particularly where there has been complaints. So I think, members, chair, through you, if there are issues that you would like us to address, if you would like us to look at certain issues, bring it to the attention of the DG, and we'll forward that to the SIU. We've also got, notwithstanding that, we've also got an internal unit under our audit, our chief audit executive, who undertakes visits as well. So you've got the program, you've got the monitoring, you've got our financial, and then we've also got our chief audit executive, because you'll know that in relation to that, they report to the audit committee, they report to the AG, and they provide. So that's another mechanism that we've got. In addition to that, we've got the NHBRC. And the NHBRC monitors and enrolls projects in relation to that. So they do the inspections and they undertake that. In addition to that, as part of the National Housing Code, there are three inspections. There's a provincial inspection, so the provinces have got their own inspectors who inspect infrastructure, who inspect the houses that get delivered. In addition to that, there's also municipalities that as part of the entire interspherical relationship, the municipalities. So there's a substantial amount of control and management around that. Yes, there might be fraud, and yes, there might be issues that fall within the cracks. And where that happens, as we've indicated, we've got response mechanisms to deal with that. So those are the control measures. I think what we need to indicate is that there's continual improvement. You know, where there's criticisms, we take it constructively, and we say, look, you know, how do we improve this? How do we better improve that? I think what during this term of office, chair, members, what we need to understand is that there are some bad practices and conventions that have developed, particularly around certain issues of how do we do that. And that's why we said, you know, we're working with a whole range of teams, stakeholders, to address that. In relation to the upgrading of RDP homes, I think we're speaking about the upgrading of informal settlements, and that's a program in the department which is implemented by the provinces and the municipalities, and basically it's an incremental process. So, you know, you provide a family with tenure, you provide them with services, you provide them with a constructed house. Because the point is, we don't have unlimited funds, you know, we can't, and capacity issues. So I hope that the projects in the Northwest, I think, as I've indicated, if there are issues that you want us to look into, then we'd welcome, you know, us being informed, and we'll obviously get the SIU in our respective. We have got a job creation model which has been approved by MINMEC, and that incorporates provincial reporting. Our research unit has developed that, and it's quite a comprehensive one, because it measures the entire value chain of human settlements. Because it's not only about the direct jobs we create in the construction of the house, but it's the cement, it's the brick making, it's the steel, it's that whole value chain. And when we measure, and this model is actually one that feeds into the entire presidential and Department of Economics. So we've got that model, and we can do that. In relation to the to rural housing, we've indicated there what some of the initiatives are through our rural housing loan fund, together with the Rural Development and Land Reform Department, which is the lead department in that. There's a substantial amount of work being done in relation to that. So in terms of outcome, 7 of the delivery agreements, we're working with them. But yes, one of the weaknesses that we're looking at is just improving our cooperative housing model. And the rural housing, the rural voucher scheme is being piloted in the Eastern Cape. And KZN, and what we're looking at is just how do we assist capacitate and allow rural households to upgrade and develop them, because there's a substantial amount of that. We just need to indicate, for example, in Mpumalanga, the province has taken the view that they're going to roll out their program through the people's housing process, which is another exciting initiative, and you might want to do it. We've indicated, Chen, and in terms of Memum Lenzana's issue, I mean, the Urban Settlements Development Grant is not only about metros. So yes, as towns and cities build their capacity, and between ourselves, National Treasury, and the Department of Cooperative Governance, there's a process to build capacity within those towns, because what we don't want to do is just to put money there and it doesn't get utilized appropriately. But I think what we need to be able to do is that's what we're doing. I think the provincial visit findings, Chair, we'd welcome that, so that we can assist, and I think it's about a partnership and a relationship. So you know, if you can provide us that, we can follow that, because as the department we have provincial quarterly reviews in which we each of the provinces come and they account for their business plans, what they've done, where the shortfalls are, where the variances are, and if you want, you can give that to us, and we can get them to report on that. I think the one issue that was raised by Mr. Lenzana was the issue around the powers and functions. I think what we need to be able to reiterate is, and that's why I'm saying, you know, it's how do we develop this? We provide the money, and the province together in conjunction with the municipality are the developers. So they run that program, and we manage and monitor that. I think what we don't want to say is that the national department should be doing everything, because we've got three spheres, and we've got to be able to respect those powers and functions. But I think the issue is, how do we just ensure each one does what we say we want to do, and we actually do that? Anton will deal with the issue around the business plans, the cash flow and accountability. There's a very, very systematic, strict system that we've got in place. The one issue that we need to indicate is that for a long period of time, the provinces were given the discretion to allow them, and we need to do that. What are some of their provincial priorities? Because they're best placed to do that. But I think what we need to also understand is that there are national development priorities. And in terms of the national development priorities as covered in Outcome 8, it's informal settlement upgrading, it's rental housing, it's land production, and it's an improved property market. So we are enforcing that. So you'll see, we've given you the indications of what those are. And it's not about the big bang approach, because some of those provinces have made certain commitments in relation to certain programs. But as we've indicated, for this year and from next year, you'll see a change in terms of the reassertion of the national department and the goals that we get from the national sphere. We've got a norms and standards, and in terms of the department, we've got the norms and standards in relation to infrastructure services as well as houses. And we expect through those inspection processes that those norms and standards will be adhered to. But sometimes that doesn't happen, and that's when we have to apply it. So as part of the rectification program, We've taken a decision at MINMEC that the National Rectification Program will be managed by the National Department, because you can't have a player referee situation around the provinces rectifying what they're supposed to have done in the first place. So that allows it. So we've given you the information there. The deep dates of proposed visits, I suppose our CFO will present that, as well as the financial issues. I'll leave some of those issues there. In relation to the financial dumping, I mean, last year on an annual basis, as part of the monitoring and management of our grant, we have at every quarter, in conjunction with the MINMEC, we analyze what the expenditure trends are. So last year, there was agreement between the Free State and KZN that they would not utilize their money, and they gave it up, or they said, look, we've got this amount of money. Is there a province that needs to utilize it? And that money was not taken away, but it was redirected. And that money that the Free State the KZN said that they would not be able to spend was redirected to Limpopo, and it was redirected to the Northern Cape. So I think what we do is that as we look at the national picture, it's not money lost to the sector. But I think what we recognize is that we're a united South Africa, so you know, if a province can't spend the money, tell us where it is, and it goes to. So it doesn't punish the sector, and it's not to punish. It's basically to say, if there are, and these things might happen, you know, it might be province X today and province Y the next year, there might be issues, you know. But it gets reallocated. So that's what happened last year. And we continually put in place measures that says, okay, if you weren't able to spend it, what are the reasons for it? And one of the big reasons for that is that there are constraints in relation to project planning, you know. So the provinces have recognized the need to have a project pipeline. Because if you don't have projects prepared, you can't implement. You know, and the average time frame for a project to be implemented takes 3 years, from the time you acquire the land until the time that you actually put the first spade in the ground. It can take you anything between 18 to 3 years. So we've indicated and we supporting the provinces to put in place that. There's also the issue of infrastructure. So sometimes you might see a project, it can't be implemented because there's no bulk or there's no link. And we've addressed that through the Urban Settlements Development Grant, but we also put in a mechanism to deal with that through the Municipal Infrastructure Grant.
A point of interest, I'm very disappointed to see some people sleeping. It means fruitless expenditure to bring them down here. What happens in offices when they are alone? It means there's no work being done, but sleeping.
Okay, Quentin.
Thanks. On the issue, as part of our specification as the Human Settlements Department, we don't provide electricity. Electricity is provided through the Department of Energy in terms of the Integrated National Energy Program. But I mean, we're dealing with that issue because there's a whole functional and regulatory issue around that. Because in terms of that, there's an indication that you can't provide, no electricity can be provided unless a township is established. So that's a regulation, and it's something we're dealing with. So that grant is provided by energy, and it will be there. But we are also looking at the issue of integrating the energy grant with the USDG. The MIG grants chair is managed by cooperative governance. So all the non-metros, they still have access to MIG. And we have what is called the Human Settlements and Basic Services Staff Team, which is all the national departments, and we get into it. We're not there yet, but it's progressive and it's moving towards the right direction. It's not about who controls the money, it's about what we want to achieve. As you've indicated, Chair, I mean, there's an emphasis on the control, and I hope I've addressed that, and colleagues will do. The monitoring and the follow-up mechanisms, I mean, once we pick up issues that are not dealt with, once we pick up, so for example, the minister found the issues or constraints in relation to sanitation, we've appointed the task team. It's dealing that. I've indicated the Free State. Money does not get lost. And I want to reiterate that. It's not about punishing provinces or municipalities, but it's how do we help them do that. We've got the project lists. I mean, as Member Jacobs has indicated, we've got the project lists. So it gives you a detail of each of the provinces. These are the projects. These are the time frames. This is what will happen. This is what will get spent. It's year, Che, and we can do that. On the technical committees related to technical MINMEC and MINMEC, we've got a human settlements technical MINMEC, which is the HODs and the DG together with other relevant departments, which is a technical support team to MINMEC, and that sits regularly, and it deals with all the crucial issues. So whatever gets fed into whatever needs to be addressed gets addressed. That the quarterly reports are in relation to and our CFO will deal with that. Chair, so if I could just ask Mr. Aronson and the rest of the team, but if I could ask with the CFO just to cover the financial issues.
Chair, thank you very much. Acting DG, thanks. Let me start with the last question that the Acting HOD of the Acting DG has asked. I think in addition to the structures that he mentioned in terms of the technical MINMEC supporting the MINMEC, the quarterly reports, the department is expected in terms of our Division of Revenue Act as well as the Public Finance Management Act to provide quarterly reports to National Treasury. And what we do with those reports, we encompass all the visits and all the monitoring that had been undertaken by our MNE. This is our monitoring and evaluation unit. And then we form a one report that goes to National Treasury. And then what we will do now from this meeting moving forward, we will provide the select committee with that kind of a report just so that they get an analysis of what we do per quarter. And over and above that, we also have our one-monthly reports that are going to National Treasury in terms of us, them monitoring us on a monthly basis. And in those reports, we indicate what has been spent and the delivery related to that. And the very same reports are actually shared with our internal structures in the department. And similarly, we will send the very same report to the minister. So we could just as well provide the quarterly report that will actually be of a global nature to the committee. But just so that I also add to what the acting DG had indicated in terms of the money that is not lost to the sector, what we normally do in terms of our monitoring, which is throughout the year, and having been aware that the expenditure may not actually be reached by the end of the financial year, we often ask our provinces to indicate in their recovery plans how they are going to recover what they could not actually spend in the previous month moving forward, just so that we also avoid the issues of fiscal dumping. We're very much cautious of that. However, the MFC must also be on the note of the Division of Revenue Act to say that in terms of those provinces that had indicated that they will achieve a certain target by a certain date, and if they do not, we also apply the Division of Revenue Act principles that says we could shift the money from one post to the other gold post, and then we, in the interest of us not losing the money to the other sector, as the DG had indicated. We are gladly, or we will definitely indicate to the committee the dates of the proposed visits, and we will share that with the committee in advance. And I think we can do that just after we had left the meeting. From tomorrow, we'll consolidate those dates of visits and then supply them to the committee. But just also to indicate that in terms of Northwest, and not to deliberate much on the issue of Doria Africa, we shared that with the province at some stage, not even last year. And the province promised to us that they will, in a way, I'll use the term, deal with Doria Africa, because if you would remember in the previous 2009, we had issues with Doria Africa, in particularly where you go far west of northwest. And then there was an indication, and we undertook some visits with it. But however, because now it's becoming rife again, we will make sure that we undertake that kind of a visit to the province. And in our visits, it's not a one-day visit whereby it will be like a boardroom visit. We will make sure that we will go on site and then pick up some of the other issues on that, and then report will also be provided. The allocation formula is, I mean, the money that has been allocated to the provinces is based on the allocation formula that has been approved. And then what normally happens there, we normally use the statistics of the Stats SA information that has been given. So money doesn't just get allocated to provinces on the basis of whether the province has projects or less projects, but the allocation formula has been approved. However, what we will, as a department, look whether there is an efficiency in that allocation formula moving forward, or whether we should not actually look at whether the allocation should be based on the projects that the province will undertake. That will also be undertaken by national department. But at the moment, we're still allocating in terms of the allocation formula that has been approved. And there is a process of us reviewing that allocation formula, and it will be shared with the all the committees in general. The issue of us, whether we do monitor the business plan. We have actually realized that for some or other reason, when we request information from provinces, we only get the piecemeal information relative to the business plan. We have so far developed a template that zooms directly into the business plan, because the information that we had given, we're quite aware that it's just a summary of the bigger picture of the business plan. If members would actually give their time to look at the disk that we shall provide to understand fully what are the milestones that constitute a business plan. They are a number, and those milestones, in so much, they get costed. So money does not go only to a site or goes to a top structure. There are those milestones that get costed, like the geotech, the planning. So what we have actually come, the template that we had come up with actually zooms into those specific milestones for us to be able to say, portion of the 14.9 billion, which is close to 22%, goes to those other factors that contribute to the contribute to the development of a house. So that template also engages us to even know exactly when the project is planned and when is it going to end. And the project list, as the DG had indicated, we will actually share it when we provide the quarterly report or the monthly report that we can give to the committee per se. And then perhaps the issue of electricity is being touched. I just want to also indicate that the Kutong, the money is not spent yet. It's in the form of an allocation, the 105 million. It's a prioritized project. However, we're quite aware of the unrest that had actually undertook there, and then an engagement with the HOD is within this week, because we felt that we cannot just leave the situation while we react, but it's proper for us to react because we know that the money has been given. And Kutong has been a challenge for some time, we're quite aware. So we are on our feet as far as Kutong is concerned. And I think on that note, just so that we bring a comfort to the committee, we will definitely provide a report on the engagements that we shall have with the HOD of Gauteng now that the Kutong is falling under Gauteng. And then the estimates of delivery for prioritized projects, the very same template that I'm talking about, also focus on the specifics of the priority project, because we've allocated the money specifically to those projects. So our template is actually indicating to say, while we give you a 14.9 billion, we've actually split it in such a way that we want to see progress in those focus areas that we've indicated and where the money had actually indicated. So our report also zooms into those specific projects, and then that kind of a report. I think the report that we shall provide to the committee, it will actually in any case or in any event indicate the specifics that the committee had actually requested. Thanks.
The chairperson, mine will be very short. Two points. The first related to the question around land, what does the money buy? within the USDG, let's take the easy one, the Urban Settlements Development Grant, very easy. Its purpose was to unlock the broadly those things that inhibit housing development. One of them being land acquisition, land assembly, and land release. So in the instance of the USDG, that's what it seeks to and is able to do. I mean, we say, so it's the acquisition of land and then putting bulk and link infrastructure in there as well. In the instance of the HSDG, just very quickly, 2004, the writing of the Comprehensive Plan for Human Settlement Sustainable Development, also referred to as BNG, Breaking New Ground. That document was very explicit in that it said, if government wants to put its money where its mouth is in terms of providing sustainable settlements to the poor, it needs to divorce the land acquisition component from the rest of the subsidy. Right? So, and hence, the slide is able to explicitly show what provinces have committed to land acquisition. Now, in this instance, it is land, and land specifically. The policy does, however, provide that in instances where funding such as MIG is not forthcoming for infrastructure provision, the housing grant is able to be used, but as a matter of last recourse. So there is that latitude to use both the HSDG and the USDG for both land acquisition as well as for infrastructure provision. The acting DG has asked that I just talk very briefly about business plans and the issue raised specifically by the member representing the Eastern Cape. Just some context. The Division of Revenue Act, in terms of its prescripts, once that allocation has been transferred to the province, the national department loses control around its use. And hence, and I need to qualify this, hence the importance of getting the plans correct at the point of approval. The business plans, both at a financial and at a strategic level, and I believe the DG has already alluded to this, is a document of consensus. There are national priorities, and typically stated in the medium-term strategic framework, the President's State of the Nation address at a national level, there are national departmental priorities, but then there are also provincial priorities, State of the Premier, the MEC's budget vote, as well as similar at local level. So one begins to get an appreciation that these plans that are crafted are documents of consensus that need to answer to not only the top-down priorities, but also the bottom-up needs as articulated at grassroots level. So there needs to be a finding of a middle ground that answers to both. To answer the question very specifically around, yes, the answer to your question is yes, there have in fact been instances where we have turned project or business plans back and where we've said that the numbers that you are suggesting and the targets that you are putting do not adequately satisfy the demands, both at the ground and stated in terms of the national department and national government's priorities. So the answer to your question, very emphatically, yes, there have been. And usually those tests get placed just shortly before our minister delivers his budget speech. Because there needs to be a satisfaction that before he says this is how he's going to use the money, or this is the money that's been allocated, there is documentation which is able to support how that money is going to be used. Thank you, Chair.
Chair, just so I know that there's the one issue that a member Jacobs raised on the dilapidated houses. I mean, the provincial MECs have a discretion. So depending, and you know, that's why I'm saying, you know, it's not a hard and fast rule. So, for example, we know that pre-94 there were houses that were transferred to households or families. And sometimes those houses, in certain instances, were... So the discretion is that within the provincial plan, the MEC has got the discretion in conjunction with the municipality to look at how do we address it. I think the issue here is that you do find some households in municipalities that are indigent. And I think what we need to be able to do is we need to be able to respond to those families. I mean, I know there's a number of examples which, you know, in life you can't address everything. So, for example, I can give you a couple of examples where you know, sometimes you have an accident where someone in an area drives through a house, and it's an RDP or subsidized house has been constructed, but the family is indigent. What do we do? You know, that's what I'm saying. On a case by case basis, I think as government we must be able to respond. So that's why I say there is those discretionary sort of cases. It's not a blanket rule. So the dilapidated houses pre-94, the post-94, it's an issue. It's something that we don't have an answer, but it does there is discretionary sort of allocations that can be done. Chair, I hope we've addressed all the questions. The last one, the financial dumping. I mean, we monitor as the CFO has indicated. I think particularly in the last 2 years, we've been very, very conscious about this issue of dumping, that golf stick phenomenon that takes place in February and March, and we're very, 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 very mindful of that. And we're hoping that we can eradicate that principle. But then there's the whole issue around the question that, you know, come December, January, there's that close down, and then there's a pickup in construction activity. You know, sometimes there's very rational explanations around those issues. So it's not about a hard and fast rule, and that's why we need to be also mindful that we don't. As we've indicated and reiterated, it's not about punishment, but it's about how do we sort of correct and allow each of us to do our work better. Thank you, Chair.
Right. Before I give a second round to the members, I wanted to acknowledge the presence of Honourable Member Temba. Mama Temba, you're more than welcome. Honourable members, I wanted to open for second round, but before I open for second round, I wanted to maybe you also to take note of something which I've noted. You, in your explanation in terms of your responses, I wanted to find out, number one, that in the whole this budget, is it covering also the issue of sanitation? Because since sanitation is subject for correction, it is given under the human settlement while it was somewhere in the certain department before. I mean, this present juncture as a new maybe responsibility. Then also, you were explaining about the issue of this thing of monitoring. Maybe if you can clarify us. Yes, I agree. You told us about the SIU and also the internal units. Do you have a risk management specific? Because what is worrying us is that we're dealing with about huge budgets. Why I'm raising the issue of risk management in your response, you indicated that once the money is discharged to the provinces, the national department lose control over that money. That's my understanding. I don't know whether I captured it right. Yes. But you said, after we have, I'll repeat what I've said, after you have discharged the money to the provinces and you lose control to the money, the question is why? Do you have risk management? Because why I'm raising that question, because the things which we are raising, they fall back to national government, that the government failed to do this and this and this and this and this and this and this. Do you have risk management? And then also you indicated about the rural voucher scheme. I'll put an example. There's something which is worrying me through my little experience. Somewhere in Western Cape, in East London, I saw something which is very, very, very sensitive. They are controlling with vouchers water given to the service to the community. If you go to the tap, you put your voucher, something like that, a card. They buy cards. You put a card. And then the card controls you to get water. While at the same time, there's nothing which is provided by the departments in terms of the dams and the... There is a huge traffic of animals, cows, people that are living in their livestock. They don't have water, they don't know. How do you overcome such problems? Because vouchers can be taken, some of these cars, that if you want services, you provide 1, 2, 3. Maybe if you can clarify on that one, or how to link the things which I'm raising. Honorable Member Jacobs, followed by Honorable Member Mlenzan.
Thanks, Chair. I think there are two questions that have not been responded to. I asked about the rectification fund, where I said it's not there in my province. The other one, what are the challenges which makes this money should not be spent? That's what I requested. And the other one, I'm not happy with the response of Eskom and electricity and housing, because I said, what is the synergy between the two? It's not to say this is not my mandate. You have built houses, you have to transfer that maybe to Department of Energy to say we have built so many houses. See to it how you put electricity in these houses. And in that manner, Department of Energy will be aware to say in that area does not have electricity. How do we address that? The new question is on priority projects. What criteria do you use? Because I'm asking this. Maybe you prioritize because there had been uprisings. So that's why that's how you allocate these funds. But now, here is a new one in Tembe. Was it Tembe Lihle? Outside Johannesburg. There had been uprising there. So it means now you'll have to prioritize that also. So that's why I'm asking. Maybe let's say it is not even, because if you look, let's say it happens in another province, in another township. How are you going to address that? Are you going to use also that priority funds to address the social upheavals that are occurring in that area? Thanks.
Honourable Member Mlenzane.
Thank you, Chairperson. Taking the same question further, as to perhaps in the light of that statement that the National Department immediately they approve, then they allow the province to run the show. Are these interventions national government or provincial government interventions? I think we have to be clarified. Then, Chairperson,
you will tell from here.
Chairperson, this second one on ratification. I'm going back.
he was asking a question, but now I want to make a comment so that you correct me if I have captured you incorrectly. That, for instance, for the Eastern Cape, where you have got, correctly speaking, acting a DG, you have got your prayer 1994 units, which, as I indicated, were without gutters, without ceilings, and so on. But when you get to the Karoo, that area which, when cold, becomes extremely cold, when hot, becomes extremely hot, you would definitely need your ceilings and all these other things. Would I then be correct when I say it is then, therefore, the provincial department's discussion to say, yes, these were not part of the business done then, but now, because of whatever, we can go in that particular municipality and add on. If I'm wrong, please correct me. Then, as a comment, Chair, because I've been asked this question not only from yourself as the Department of Human Settlement. We asked the same question. It was the Department of Public Works, I remember. If it was not so, transport, I'm not sure whether it was transport or public way. When we were saying, at some stage, because of these powers and functions, the department loses teeth to fight. And immediately we raised that, it appears to you guys as if we are saying you are ineffective. But we are saying you are hamstrung by the Constitution. That, excuse me, the CEO may visit the Eastern Cape, pick up these critical issues, but she would end up with a report, I believe, to MINEC, and that would be the end of the story. Because she is not armed to say, no, don't do it, or yes, continue. Hence then, I would advise that it's high time that these departments, which are dealing directly with provinces, Honorable Chairperson, should begin to recognize the muscle that the NCOP has in terms of oversight. I know that when it is a National Assembly Portfolio Committee, you go there running. I'm generous because I know with yourselves as human gentlemen, you respect the select committee. I'm just generic with other departments, not particularly yourselves. I don't want this to go on record. As if I'm saying to yourselves, we know you respect us as human gentlemen. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here today, if you were not respecting us. But I'm deliberately being, you know, general. But I'm saying, this is your warmest of the warm home, where, CEO, you would be able, when you pick up these challenges, in you promise us that you would be feeding us with this quarterly report. Say to us, we have tried, but now we are hitting the wall in this particular province on these aspects. Because the next thing that we will do as the NCOP, not as the individual reps from the province, as this committee, we would summon the leadership of that particular province, starting with the MEC, HOD and whoever is responsible, then you would be invited like today in that particular session. So that we do not also create antagonistic relations amongst yourselves. But you would be able, we would call you and say we have picked up this.
MEC, HOD, explain. CEO from the National Department, explain. That, I think, is the best way of curbing this, because we are gradually, Chairperson, getting into a laissez-faire kind of administration. If people are going to, because you know, we South Africans are very good in putting issues on paper. They would come up with nice business plans, subject themselves to whatever you are saying as the National Department, of course knowing that immediately they get money. You are now no longer in control. And in fact, it's not about them getting money, it's about getting the approval. And the next thing they would demand, where is our next tranche? And you have got no leg to stand on to say no, because you are not making them to account. Thanks, Chairperson.
Right. I request you to respond to some of the questions.
Thanks, Chair.
Okay, let's give her a chance.
Sorry, Chair, and my apologies. If this question has been asked, please pardon me. I'll get the response from the committee secretary. But I'm looking at this page 4 of this presentation on grant allocation. I'm looking at this housing disaster relief grant, and I see it's blank. If maybe I can be clarified of why is it blank, because I'm looking at now we are looking into summer and the rains are coming, so what's going to happen? And also the other one, weather. The department has an audit of houses that are really in a terrible situation in provinces. I'll cite, for example, maybe in Tegwan, on even other areas in other provinces. Do you have the list of the audits of the houses that are in a terrible situation? Thanks, Chair.
Thanks, Chair. In relation to the provision of sanitation and budget allocation, in terms of the letter we received on Friday, we will come back to the committee on the 18th, and that will cover the sanitation. But in brief, the department is now responsible for the national sanitation function, and as part of that, we've got, you'll see on the slide, it speaks about the rural household infrastructure program. And on the 18th, we were hoping that we would come and fully explain that. But it gives you, yes, sanitation does form part of our program, even in terms of the Human Settlements Development Grant and Urban Settlements Development Grant. Municipalities and provinces can utilize that money to provide a sanitation. As part of our program, you'll know that we provide water sanitation, tenure, houses, and infrastructure. So that's the... Chair, yes, we have a risk committee, and that risk committee is reports to the audit committee, and it's a very vibrant and it's constituted in relation to that. The rural household voucher scheme, Chair, is not like the water issue. It's not about managing the right of people to the rural voucher scheme is in response to improving our ability to be able to roll out a program that allows particularly rural households to access the grant. And it's done through a voucher, and we can make a presentation on that. It's quite a progressive one, because it allows the incremental construction and it gives it's a voucher that allows the household to access materials and those issues that are required for a sustainable livelihood and household. In relation to the rectification fund, Chair, the The allocations that are on the presentation that are here in relation to Member Jacobs, that is what was presented to us as part of the business plan. So if a province, and for this financial year, the rectification program allocations were a provincial provincial responsibility. So it was a provincial discussion. So if a province didn't allocate monies to rectification, it implies that they didn't have any projects on the go. But we know as the national department, that's why I'm saying from next year, we are implementing a national rectification program and funding mechanism. And that will allow the department to make interventions where required in conjunction with the province and the municipalities on rectification. So in relation to the allocations here, if the Free State didn't allocate, then they didn't have any projects that they deemed required funding for rectification. On the synergy between electricity around the provision, it is a bit of a situation that's not healthy. As we've indicated, the grant currently, the provision of, in terms of our specifications, it goes up to the provision of a DV board. So the specification for the human settlement subsidy provides for a DV board. Taking the electricity from the street to the house, that grant is given to the municipalities. And what we've indicated, and that's why you'll see through the USDG, the HSDG, the MIG, and you'll see in our slides we've indicated, what we want to be able to do is to see a synergy, a project and a program flow that says, once a house has been constructed, there is a program that electrifies that house. And that's what's missing. And it's currently a flaw in the program and project system. And hence the one of the considerations that is being given is, how do we sort of, when we go into a municipality or when a province approves the project, it approves a holistic project that says you'll get water, sanitation, access roads, electricity. And that currently, we have to admit, it's not something that's optimally there, Chair. The criteria for priority projects, Anton will deal with that, but in relation to the current ones here, this is in consultation with the provinces and the municipality. So the priority projects that are here are on the basis of what's been agreed to between the provinces, the municipalities, and ourselves. But they are also sort of key focus points. What I don't want to leave the committee with is the impression that once we give the money, we walk away. No, we don't. I mean, as I've indicated, MINMEC, technical MINMEC, we have our provincial quarterly reviews. We do hold them accountable. It's not something they like. It's not something they enjoy. But we do hold them accountable. And you'll see last year, there was a bit of, because it was the first time in a very long time that as a national sphere, and I say all of us, because, you know, for a long time we were not working as a team, both politically, in terms of your NCOP, our portfolio committees, the department. And I think we're getting there. We're not there yet. And hopefully today's engagement around the provincial visit. So Chair, one of the things that we can request the committee through yourself is that when you do go on provincial visits, can you invite us? You know, so we've got a team that goes in there. We assist you. Not assist you, but we can know what politically you're taking, because we don't know that, and it's a communication issue. We would like to be part of it, and I think we would welcome it. The other important thing, Chair, is I don't think we must walk out of this committee that if you criticize us, we see it as a negative. No. I mean, we've learned a lot in relation. The only way we can better understand each other is through our interaction. And sometimes it doesn't mean being nice to each other. And I don't want us to think that we take it in a negative. No. I hope as a department we've been able to respond to those. Yes, there are weaknesses that we're trying to address, but I think we can only address those weaknesses if you point it to us. Sometimes we might be blind to those weaknesses. In relation to the point on the audit of houses, as part of the rectification program, one of the things that we will do is undertake an audit. There have been audits that have been done, not detailed audits per province, but there are systematic provincial projects that have been audited through our monitoring and evaluation. So we do undertake those audits. And when we do find those, I mean, so we've done detailed audits in a couple of projects in KZN, in a couple of projects in the Eastern Cape. But as part of the rectification program, there will be detailed audits done of houses and homes where it's been brought to our attention and those there. But no, at the moment we don't have the detailed audit of houses. We've got systematic ones, and we can provide you of those projects where we've done audits. And if there are audits that you or audits that you'd like us to consider, I suppose if you can be provided with that information. I don't know, Anton, you, Fernando?
Thank you very much, through you, Chair. If I can respond directly to the issues of the challenges of why the money is not spent, and as indicated by provinces, we're quite aware that there are a number of challenges that provinces would indicate, although some of them do are cut across, and some of them do not apply to other provinces, hence we did not actually put those issues on the board. However, just to indicate the major one, which is, although we do have an urban settlement development grant that touches on the support of the capital grants of the municipal of the cities, we still have, in some areas like the Northern Cape, for instance, the limitation of the bulk infrastructure from the MIG funding that cannot actually touch some of the projects that the province has come out with. So now there's an element of the MIG funding being tied for those financial years, so the monies will be allocated in some years to come according to the province. So that limits the projects that the province had indicated that they would actually run with in the financial years where the money had been allocated, because of the limited funding from the MIG fund for bulk infrastructure. Some provinces had also indicated the issues of the from the FLISP, which is one of the programs that is run by the department, the Finance Link program, where there are issues of the new credit act that is actually limiting the defaulters as well as the people who are not credit worthy to access funding. So that also has an impact on the program to run effectively as the money has been actually put to that. Now, there's also an issue of the cash flow for some of the contractors who are on site. Some of them are actually waiting for the money to be received, and some of them do not actually even know how to supply or provide the invoices or reconcile their invoices. That's the kind of responses that we receive from provinces, and that provides a provision of them accessing money through the invoices, because when their project units go and investigate or do their site visits, they do not find the worthy of the invoices, so they tend not to pay them, and so that delays the process of money being spent in some way or other. And the issue of the water indicated in which is prominent, and it cuts across all provinces, particularly with the issue of Northwest, whereby one sees that there is delivery on the ground, but there is no money spent. So if one compares with the issue that some of the service providers had not indicated or had not supplied the invoices on time, but they are also having an indication of the system alignment in terms of the new system that they are using, which is bus, because they come from the worker system. So there's also an unalignment of the payment system, which is our HSS, versus the bus system. And then the issue of poor economic conditions are across the board, which also takes me to the point of
the issues of the housing disaster relief grant. The housing disaster relief grant, it's not a continuous grant. It's a once-off grant depending on the situation with which is experienced by that particular. In our case, for that disaster, we had it for the KwaZulu-Natal, because we all know how that area is when it comes to rains, and Eastern Cape as well. So now we could not actually win with National Treasury for us to give that money over the years to come, because they say you cannot predict what economic climate and the weather is. However, I've been in contact, but just a point of correction, as a CFO, not CEO. I've been in contact with National Treasury on the issues of the forthcoming rains, given the challenges that we have with our Western Cape as well as our Eastern Cape and KwaZulu-Natal. And we also had some challenges with the Northern Cape in the past year. So there's an indication of the money that has been received from the Disaster Management Fund. So that money is going to be allocated. It may not be a big amount, but it's being split to the provinces. There's an expectation in this budget process adjustment that money is going to be forthcoming to us, and it will be transferred to provinces. So we'll still have to come up with institutional arrangements of how we report, because that's an additional money, whether it's in the form of a human settlement development grant or whether it's in the form of a housing disaster relief grant. However, the emphasis here is that we do not have a disaster as a stable grant, just so that we know what we are going. But if some of the emergencies exist, there are emergency funds that provinces would provide within the same human settlement development grant as a program that is run within the business plan. And Chair, I think I also recognize the concerns raised by that they decide to say we do have powers, we will communicate with the committee, we will send our concerns to the committee, and then we'll definitely appreciate the assistance. However, over and above what the acting DG had indicated in terms of us not leaving the committee with the notion that we do not have powers, we are also falling back on the fact that we do have grant framework that actually gives us some powers over the money. We are also falling back on the fact that the Division of Revenue Act and PFMA grants us those powers. We may be limited from a political perspective. However, the two framework, which is the Act as well as the grant, gives us some of the powers to can access the provinces. Thank you, Chair.
I want to formally correct this so that it goes correctly on record. I have to formally apologize to the CFO. Unfortunately for the department chair, the better part of last week we were dealing with state-owned enterprises. So we are talking CEO than CFO. Thanks for that.
Just 2 points, but just for the not, I think the my earlier statement, and it has been elaborated on, but for the sake of my colleagues thinking that I've perhaps lost my marbles, I have not. The point that I made earlier about once the money goes to provinces, we lose control. Let me state very clearly: this is in respect of the day-to-day running of the grant. So who pays invoices, who manages projects, understand it in that context, and not at the level of program. And otherwise, we would not move money from one province and give it to another. That is at that level that I just wanted to clarify that point. And like I said, it's not for yourselves, but for my colleagues. Else I won't get a lift back to the airport. around the issue of priority projects, there is a criterion against which projects are identified and classified, and it has been approved by MINMEC. I think for the benefit of the committee, we'd be happy to make that available. Of course, the president by decree and cabinet by decision, those things happen, but there is a criteria, and we'd be happy to pass that on to you. The issue of rectification, I don't think we both the C, the acting DG and the CFO have attempted to provide an answer, but I don't think we're going to do justice to the whole rectification program. It may in fact be useful for a dedicated conversation around the rectification program. What I would like to indicate, and this is specific to the issue raised and the example cited, within the housing program, within the subsidy, or over and above the basic subsidy, there is a variation to the subsidy. Now, the variation to the subsidy allows for those specificities that you've listed. In other instances, it's dolomite. In the case of the Western Cape, it's condensation, and so on and so forth. So, and provinces have the discretion to add these variations to the subsidy in order to make those homes that they are building livable, specific to their provinces. So that needs to be identified as something very clear and very, very separate from the issue of poor workmanship. And that which the rectification program seeks to address. Thank you.
Okay. Honorable members, and I would like to thank the department for their presentation and their responses as well. But to indicate that we are going to definitely correct that situation, the incident which happened, that you received the information related to prepare yourself. I think it's upon us to correct that thing as soon as possible. And also to welcome the cities which you wanted to provide to us. And I'll request from the Secretariat to make sure that before the end of this week, each and every member must have the package of these cities, so that during our spare time to start maybe to look through. But also indicate that any time as you give us a hand, that we must invite you when we are visiting provinces. Definitely we'll do that. We are very much happy to hear that. Also to indicate that that is our intention, that we believe in collective leadership or collective work, we can achieve our goals. And without wasting any time, I'd like to thank you and release you, so that I'll request members to remain, so that we deal with one issue.